and welcome to this part of the service. Hang on to your seats. We're going to get started here. So, this morning I'd like to dive into 1 Peter again. Been doing a study through there, and the verses I would like to hone in on this morning is in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And I was thinking about the mind and our brains, our mind. And in my study, I was doing a little bit of research. I'm not a doctor. And so I found some pretty interesting facts about the brain, about the mind. And so this is just according to Google, so I can't verify it for sure. But the brain is able to store as much as information as 20,000 iPhones. Imagine having 70,000 tasks to do a day and never getting rest between those tasks. It makes me tired just to think about it. And yet our brains are so powerful that the average person has up to 70,000 thoughts a day. When a neuron is stimulated, it generates an electrical impulse that travels from cell to cell. Brain information can travel up to an impressive 350 miles per hour. And your brain can recognize and remember over 50,000 distinct scents. And there are approximately 400 miles of blood vessels in your brain. And that's from here to Nashville, Tennessee. It's incredible. And the human brain runs about 20 watts of power, and that's enough to power a light bulb. You know, our created brains, our minds are amazing. AI holds a lot of information, but it still doesn't hold a candle to the fingerprint of God on our life. AI is very smart, but it lacks true emotion, true connection, true relationship, and it, of course, lacks a soul. In these verses, there were some key some key words that jumped out at me, and it's our mind, action, conforming, lusts, ignorance, holiness, and conduct. And what's the connection between all these, and how do all these things link together? First of all, Peter calls us to use our minds, to prepare our minds for action, to be sober-minded, and he also calls us to rest our hope on the grace that is to be brought to you. And thinking about hope, how do you obey a command to feel? he instructs us to hope, and you can't necessarily just turn your feelings on and off like a water spigot, but here we're given a command to hope. And hope is not just a thought, but it's a feeling, an emotion. How do you do it? How do you obey that kind of command? And I believe you do so by using the mind and feeding it with the kindling of truth. And what is the kindling of truth? Since our passage started out with the word therefore, I believe it's referring back to the previous verses that we've gone through already. His great mercy towards us, verse 3. We can be born again to a living hope, also verse 3. We can have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and doesn't fade away, verse 4. We are guarded by God's power, verse 5. And these are previous to previous verses from the passage today. We are tested. Our tested faith is more precious than gold, verse 7. And we have salvation of our souls, verse 9, and the grace that is ours, verse 10. And you use your mind and you throw all of this kindling of truth, which feeds the fire of hope. And hope doesn't just happen because you want it to. You must believe the truth. And our mind and what we think play a big role in how we live. In the New Testament, the mind is talked about over 150 times. And Christ wants to transform and renew our mind. Romans 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 8, 5 and 6 say, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And just asking the question this morning, do we set our mind on Christ? Do we set our mind on truth? Setting our mind on the Spirit is life and peace, and that is real hope. And as our passage today says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. The ESV says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. And as I was looking at this verse and studying it, it almost made a little bit more sense, or easier to understand maybe, if you look at it in kind of a reverse order there. Before you know Christ, there is an ignorance that you have. Especially as a child, there's an ignorance of sin and the consequences of sin. And out of that ignorance is the soil in which lusts or passions grow. And those passions bring you into conformity in your behavior to them, which is your conduct. This kind of ignorance is not bliss. This ignorance, if not remedied, if not dealt with, leads to death. So, yeah, what is ignorance? Ignorance is a lack of knowledge or awareness. You do not know the truth. And it says, don't be conformed to passions which were done in ignorance. The kind of ignorance we are talking about is deeper than just a lack of knowledge. And this ignorance isn't necessarily passive. This ignorance is based in deception, in a nature that is fallen. They are lies. This ignorance is selfishness at its core, and it's because you do not know the truth. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24 says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of what? The ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their minds, hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So, yeah, your former life was corrupted with deceitful desires, passions, lusts. It was based in ignorance and in deception. So, ignorance was once producing false and deceitful desires and passions, which in turn produce conformity to the kinds of conduct which are dishonoring to God. A life lived in ignorance and not in truth is not bliss. It is a hard path, and this path without remedy will ruin your life and ultimately bring you to eternal destruction. So, a couple weeks ago, we put the children to bed. It was late in the evening, and put them to bed. They were sleeping. My wife and I went downstairs, and we were in the living room talking, and it was getting a little late, and so we decided, you know, it's time to go to bed. And as we got up from the couch, all at once, something comes flying out of the kitchen, makes a loop around us, and flies back into the kitchen again. I was not expecting that, and it was all I could do not to scream. And, right away I thought it was a bird, but the way it flew was like, with a sinking feeling, I discovered it wasn't, it can't be a bird, it has to be a bat. And I was not too happy about that. That's my turf. Bats belong outside. And me and bats, no bueno. So as the man of the house, I decided, you know, we need to take care of this, figure this out. And so I came up with a plan, and that was that I would stand guard, and my wife would go look for it. But that plan didn't go down very well. So anyway, long story short, we did find it again, and we were able to chase it out of the house. The funny thing is, it's not funny. 2 days ago, I woke up in the morning, and I opened my eyes. It was early morning, and I see something go whoosh, right above my head. And it was the bat again in our room, flying about 2 feet above my head. We'll just say it did not leave the house alive this time. So, but looking back, the first time that it came in, we're pretty sure that the bat was in our house for a day or two before we saw it. One evening we kept hearing a rustling sound by our window, and we thought it was just the vent is right below it, and we thought it was just the air coming out, and didn't think much about it. The next night, I think a sound woke my wife up. She didn't wake me, but she heard something go across the room, which I don't know why she didn't wake me, but we're pretty positive now it was the bat. So, up until we saw the bat, we were ignorant of the truth, right? We were ignorant of the fact that there was a bat in our house. When we knew the truth, we had a choice to make. And when we knew the truth, we were no longer ignorant. And I might even say that we didn't want to be ignorant anymore, and act like everything was okay, because it wasn't. Instead of casually going about our daily lives like we did in our ignorance, when our minds knew the truth, when we fully understood the truth, we had a choice to make. Were we going to stay willfully ignorant and go about our daily lives as if nothing was wrong? Or were we going to take action on a new set of passions from what we did, which would lead us to a different set of conduct or action than what we did in our ignorance? And that was to take action and get rid of the bat. A child that is born into this world is born with a selfish desire, and in ignorance they demand what they want. Because of the fallen nature of the human race, there is selfishness that grows, and the enemy wants nothing more but for us to feed on that selfishness as we grow older. Ignoring selfishness is feeding selfishness, and whether it's children or grown-ups, that's so true. And if we don't deal with selfishness, we are in a sense feeding selfishness. However, as a child, this is all done in ignorance, a lack of not knowing better, and it truly is a lack of knowledge. Unfortunately, it all comes pretty naturally. And as a child, their minds aren't developed enough to know, you know, right from wrong, or what selfishness even is. And that's one reason it's so important for parents to teach their children what selfishness is and to help call it out. And that's why I also believe that young children that die are safe from eternal destruction, because of the selfishness that's in them is done in ignorance. It's a lack of knowledge. They don't understand the selfish nature in them. However, there does come a time when they understand right from wrong, and they are held accountable for their actions. There is a time that, as Jonathan mentioned too, there is a time that Christ calls them. But if they know the truth and they reject the truth of their lost estate, the truth of their need for a Savior, then it turns into willful ignorance. It's a deliberate choice to avoid, disregard, or reject the truth and continue walking and following the passions and conforming to the kinds of conduct that the Father in heaven calls unrighteousness. The truth is, we need a Savior to cleanse our life of this ignorance and the passions of sin. And so, yeah, what is the remedy for replacing this ignorance? The answer is at the beginning of the verse. The instruction is to take your mind and remedy this ignorance. Take your sober mind and remedy this ignorance by replacing the ignorance with truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," John 14:6. The truth will replace ignorance. And the truth will shed light on darkness. And the truth will reveal the passions you are living for. And ultimately, the truth will set you free, as John 8:31 says. Walking in truth, walking with Jesus, will produce new passions. And new passions will produce a new set of conduct, which the Bible describes as holy conduct. And yeah, here we get a little glimpse of what holiness means. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And maybe we should first ask, what is God's holiness? The Hebrew word for holy means to be separate or to be set apart. And I like the description that someone once said about the holiness of God. It says, "God has no standard outside of himself in which to be proved holy. He doesn't measure up to the law that someone else writes. God's holiness is God always acting in accord with his own infinite values. He is one of kind. He is set apart. He is infinitely pure and transcendently valuable and glorious. And all of his actions are in accord with his own infinite values. But these verses are not talking about the holiness of God. They are talking about our holiness. How in the world can we be holy? Obviously we can. Scripture even goes so far as to instruct us to be holy. Well, what does Peter say? But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your what? Conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And here he's quoting Leviticus 11:44-45, where it says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves on the ground. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, for I am holy. And as Israel was called, we also are called to be set apart for him. We too are called to reflect his holy nature. And we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Romans 12:1. And Peter says, we shall be holy by our conduct that shows and reflects the infinite value of God. Simply put, value the things that God values more than the things you valued in your ignorance. Value the grace that is yours than what you valued in your former ignorance. And, you know, what are some of those things that we valued? Again, it can be selfishness, comfort, prosperity, human esteem and status, self-righteousness, self-reliance, control, autonomy, self-gratification, and the list can go on and on. What you value will be your passion, which will influence your conduct. Operating your life out of ignorance is not bliss. It's a hard road. And the enemy wants us to only see the glitz and glamour of sin and continue living in willful ignorance. If he can get us to value self-gratification, self-reliance, whatever self that is, if he can get us to start valuing ourselves, we will start living out of that passion. And from the soil of those passions, we'll produce conduct and actions that without the saving grace of Jesus will lead to death. No, ignorance is not bliss. Satan would like for us to think that it is. And he will do anything in his power to distract us and lead us away from the truth. And as a child of God, Christ should be our supreme value. Your holiness is a behavior that corresponds and conforms to that passion. And as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions that were yours in ignorance. Replace this ignorance with truth. 1 John 5:18-21 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, as I was thinking about this, you know, how many people try to remedy ignorance or wrong passions by merely trying to just change their conduct? You know, if only I could stop doing, you name the thing. If only I could conquer lying, self-indulgence. If only I could do and say the right things. If only I could do what's right. If only I can do. And I wonder if far too often we put our focus on the wrong thing. Oops. Where the main focus is only on trying to change our conduct or behavior, our actions. How often do we make behavior, actions, conduct, or performance of utmost importance? And I'm sure many of us can relate to that. You know, what people see about us, our performance, our conduct, and actions, that is the driving force of whether we are walking right or not. Our conduct is put way up here. After all, it is our conduct that glorifies God, not? What about wrong passions that are formed in our ignorance? Are there things in my life that hinder my walk with God? Things that I am not proud of? Passions and lusts that I try over and over to conquer? If we have wrong passions from that which was formed in ignorance and only tried to remedy them in conduct, in our conduct, it most likely won't bring true resolution. It will be very frustrating, and there most likely won't be victory. More likely than not, there will be failure after failure. And I've been there. You grit your teeth and promise you're gonna yourself that you won't fall again. And you promise yourself you're gonna do better. And you try as hard as you can to change your conduct. You know, what's happening here? We are trying to remedy our actions. We are trying to work, do the work in our own strength. The key and the foundation and first highest priority should be to know the truth. Our main focus should be to have a deep relationship with the one who is true, Christ Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:29 also says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's the key. Know the truth, be in a close, passionate relationship with the one who is true. And out of that passionate relationship will be the soil to grow new passions. And with new passions will be new conduct. Out of a close relationship with the one who is true will be a new passion to live for him, and in turn bring new and changed conduct, which in turn glorifies God in our lives, in holy living. And that's the work of sanctification, becoming like Christ. And it's not us doing the work, it's Christ doing the work in us and changing us. Just look at the two different illustrations. One is trying to live a holy life and, you know, change wrong passions, conduct, from the work of self. The focus is us trying to remedy the wrong in order to bring glory to God. Can any amount of holiness come from us? Look at the other illustration. It's a different posture there. It's a life focused on Christ and a relationship with him. The work, the change, the new passion, and the changed conduct is the work that he does in our life. And out of that work, he in turn is glorified through our lives. Remember what God's holiness means? He is infinitely pure and transcendently valuable and glorious, and all of his actions are in accord with his own infinite values. We in turn are also called to be holy. And we shall be holy by our conduct that shows and reflects the infinite value of God in our lives. We will value the things that God values, more than the things we valued in our ignorance. We bring glory to God by making known God's invisible attributes in tangible and visible ways with our lives. And so, yeah, just to break it down real quick, truth about God's grace, it's not ignorance anymore, built so that above it there is hope and change, and above that now is built new conduct. And if you notice something about this, knowing the truth, it's not ignorance, renewal happens in the head and mind, you know the truth. And build above that, there is hope, there is change, there's transformation, heart, passions, and above that is built new conduct, and it's fleshed out in the body. In closing, I have just a short story to share. In one of John Maxwell's books that I've been reading recently is a story that is, yeah, really powerful and ties into what we are talking about today. Sir Charles Laughton was an English actor, famous for reading of poetry and other literary passages. One evening, he was attending a Christmas party with a large family in London. Well into the evening, the host decided that each person in attendance would read or recite a favorite passage, one that reminded them most about the spirit of Christmas. Lawton's turn came near the end, and he recited in his beautifully trained voice the 23rd Psalm. Everyone applauded his efforts, and the process continued. Within minutes, all had participated except for one elderly aunt who had dozed off in the corner of the room. She was particularly loved, and they gently woke her, explaining what was going on, and asked her to take part. She thought for a moment and began in her shaky voice, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the room hushed as she continued, and when she finished, tears were dripping down every face. Upon leaving, one of the younger members of the family thanked Lawton for coming and remarked about the difference in the response of the family to the two readings. In one case, appreciation. In the other, deep connection and involvement. "How do you account for it?" asked the young man, shaking his head. Lawton looked at him and replied simply, "I know the Psalms, and she knows the Shepherd." And I just, yeah, I'd like for you to pause and take a moment and examine your own life. Do you know the Shepherd, or do you just know the Psalms? Are you still living in ignorance? Do you live your life in a way that reflects the infinite value of God? Do you value the things that God values more than what the world values? Where are your passions? What is the soil from which those passions grow? And do you know the truth? Do you have a relationship with the one who is true? Remember, ignorance is not bliss. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Keith.